And let's pray as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the wonder of who you are, what you've done in sending Jesus to be our Saviour and Lord, in coming to be with us as we trust in him by your Holy Spirit, mediating your presence to us, teaching us from your word, transforming our hearts and minds so that we can trust in Jesus and live for him. And we pray that you would be doing that as we read your word now. Thank you for the treasure we have here. And we pray for opened eyes, unstopped ears, changed wills, understanding that's beyond us, a love that surpasses what we thought we could feel for you, and wills that are turned around so that we might run with you and walk with you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We have the slides, Dominic, thank you. I wonder if you ever get worried. Do you ever wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning thinking, oh no, I've woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning and things are whizzing around your head that you just can't get rid of? Do you get anxious about things? A recent survey gave the top five things that people get worried about. Here's number one. Maybe this is you. Getting old in general. Maybe not you. Number two, worried about my savings or financial future. No. Number three, low energy levels. Number four, your diet. Ooh. Feel that striking home. Number five, financial or credit card debts. I said this week that the average debt per household in this country, outside of mortgages, £10,000. So some of us here are going to feel that. Does that worry you? Maybe there are other things that I've not mentioned. Things at work, things in your family, relationships. We worry, don't we? A lot of us worry. We do have a sense as we worry that it's a waste of time. Here's what Mark Twain said, who's an American author and humorist. I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them have never happened. He's known a great many troubles in his head, but most of them have never happened. And we know that, don't we, about worry. The number of times you worry about something and then it just doesn't happen like that at all. But it's hard to stop, isn't it? So what can we do with worry? What can we do with worry? This passage before us today gives us two vital verses that if we're trusting in Jesus are going to help us enormously as we think about worry. They're going to help us to fight anxiety. Let me read them to you. It's Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. And these are worth memorizing, these verses, knowing off by heart, getting them deep inside us. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Great verses. Verses to learn, to know well. But this passage doesn't just deal with anxiety. In fact, as a citizen of heaven, which is what Paul says Christians are, he wants us to fight all sorts of negative things in our lives. Citizens of heaven, we'll see in this passage, citizens of heaven can rejoice in thinking like Jesus and seeing God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. If you've got one of these white sheets, you can follow what I'm doing and where we're going in the sermon through there if you want to. Some gaps to fill in if you'd like to. Citizens of heaven can rejoice in thinking like Jesus and see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. Well, let's look at that idea of being citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Do you trust in Jesus? Then Paul says, you're a citizen of heaven. Last week, we're thinking about how it's as if Jesus gives us a passport. And it doesn't say citizen of the United Kingdom on it. It says citizen of heaven. We're not there yet, but we are citizens. We've got this passport. It tells us where we're going. Chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. How come? How come our citizenship is in heaven? Because of what Paul tells us about Jesus earlier. He says, I want to be found in Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. This is back in chapter 3, verse 9, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Before Jesus was around with us, before we trusted in Jesus, the only way we could be right with God was by trying to do everything he wanted, or by keeping the law. And we could put ticks against the things that we'd managed to do, but every so often we'd have to cross them out, wouldn't we? So as we were thinking earlier, do not murder, yeah, easy to tick that one. And then suddenly Jesus says, actually, we're angry with people in our hearts, that's murder. Cross. Do not commit adultery, oh, I've never done that. Jesus turns around in Matthew's gospel, says, if you've looked at men, if you've looked at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. Well, it's the other way around as well. Cross there. We discover that the law ends up not getting us to God, but telling us how far short we've fallen. That's before Jesus. The righteousness that comes from the law, being right with God by the law, just doesn't work. But with Jesus, there's this righteousness from chapter 3, verse 9, that comes through faith in Christ. He can put us right with God as we trust in him. How can he do that? By his death on the cross. It's there that Jesus takes all the things where we've got crosses against the law on himself. Everything about us that turns our back on God, onto Jesus, on the cross, and taken away from us, so that we can have that righteousness, being right with God, that comes through faith in Christ. It's from him. It's amazing. So we can be citizens of heaven. And with that come many benefits, things that we're going to think about in this passage. So with being a citizen of heaven comes the benefit of being, having our names written in the book of life. It's only picture language. It's as if God has got a book in heaven, a great big book. And whenever someone turns to Christ, he writes their name in the book. So that on that last day, he opens the book up, and there you turn up in heaven. David, you go, David. David's trusted in Jesus. He's in the book of life. Come on in. He's grasped hold of us. Do you remember that from last week? Right. What other benefits are there from being a citizen of heaven? We know, as by being citizen of heaven, that Jesus is going to return. And we wait for him to return. And while we wait, eagerly waiting for that, because it could be any day, while we wait, he says he's with us by the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's great, isn't it? And that's a fact to trust. It's not a feeling. You might not be able to feel the Holy Spirit with you. It's a fact he promises. We trust it. What other benefits are there from being citizens of heaven? We find that he hears and answers prayer. Amazing, isn't it? God answers prayer. Access to God is possible. And he answers with his perfect will. Not with your perfect will, because it's not perfect. Not with my will. But God answers with his perfect will. And we find, as citizens of heaven, that God is good and he changes us. God is good and changes us. So all these benefits from being a citizen of heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? All this is yours in Jesus and because of him. And that's why Paul comes to this passage. All these things in this passage that we're going to read about are because of being citizens of heaven. They're consequences of how we actually live that out in our lives. And so we can rejoice in thinking like Jesus. That covers the whole passage. Rejoice in thinking like Jesus. Our lives are shaped by God because we're citizens of heaven. It's like having a heart transplant. Imagine that you've got to have a heart transplant. Someone who needs a heart transplant is very unwell. They've got very little energy. They find it hard to breathe. They can hardly get up. Life is in danger. That's because the heart isn't pumping blood around their body properly. So they have a heart transplant, and then they've got a new heart, and that heart pumps the blood really well around their body. Hooray, blood is going around their body properly. But it's not just that blood is going around their body properly. It changes everything. They've got energy. They can breathe easy. They can walk. They can even run sometimes. It makes such a lot of difference. It's a new life. It says like that with Jesus. He makes us citizens of heaven and gives us a heart transplant. And our heart is put right with God. But it has so many other effects in our lives. So let's have a look through the passage. Are our names written in the book of life? Well, then we can be united with each other, verses 2 and 3. And instead of there being disagreement and argument, we put those things to one side and learn to get on with each other. Paul writes, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche, these are two women in the church of Philippi, to agree in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, true companion, someone else in the church, and everyone knows who he is, help these women who have laboured side by side with me in the gospel. They're gospel partners, just like the whole of the church at Philippi, but they're quite important people. Together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. It's as if he's saying, look, women, look, ladies, your names are written in the book of life. What are you doing arguing about stuff? What are you doing upsetting the church, putting things in jeopardy? Work at being united. Are we waiting for Christ's return? Then, verses 4 and 5, rejoice and live out your life in a way that other people will see is good, reasonable, honourable. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Jesus coming back? Let it make a difference. Does God answer prayer? Yes, he does. So trust him. Turn to him with your problems. Trust him for the solution. Verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Is God good? Does he change us? Yes, he does. So verses 8 and 9, let's set our minds on thinking God-like things, Christ-like things, positive things, not on the negative stuff in the world around us. Look at what he mentions, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, he's going to say, think about these things. So let me read the list, thinking that. Think about these things, not the negative stuff. Whatever's true, whatever's honourable, whatever's just and fair, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely. Just think of it. Does Game of Thrones fit any of this? Have a think. Good. Whatever is commendable, is there any excellence? Is there anything worthy of praise? Think about these things. Then he says, let him be an example. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Lots of ways that we can rejoice in thinking like Jesus, changing the way we think, because we're citizens of heaven. So, citizens of heaven, because of Jesus, waiting to be with him, with that righteousness that he gives us. Can rejoice in thinking like Jesus. He's changing the way we think and how we behave. And this is where I want to zoom in on those two verses. And see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. It's a wonderful promise. Great promise. Words to learn and remember and trust. Verses 6 and 7. Let me read them again. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's something to stop here, something to do, and something to receive. Something to stop, do and receive. So two commands, a stop and a do, and a promise, the receive. So stop worrying. Stop worrying. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Stop worrying, Paul says to the Philippians, and through them to us. Now there is a kind of anxiety that comes with depression. And that is something that is a medical thing and needs help, professional help, medical help. It's not that kind of anxiety, I think, that he's talking about. He's talking about the kind of worry that goes on day to day in our lives, for most of us. There's a lady called Corrie Ten Boom. She's a great Christian lady who survived concentration camps in the Second World War. And she said this: worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but today of its strength. Because when we worry, we put a lot of energy into something that changes nothing. You think of that? When you worry, you think about every event. You think about something coming up that bugs you, and you go down every possible pathway, don't you? Every permutation of what someone might say or do, and you come up with all the negative possibilities, and you put all your energy into that, and you feel all the emotion of it coming down on you. It really gets you anxious. Worry. But you've achieved nothing. All you've done is got yourself worried. You put all your energy into that, and at the same time, you fail to trust God. We haven't put our energy into trusting him. We've trusted our silly thoughts instead. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. What could the Philippians be worried about? Well, there are lots of things they could be worried about. Their beloved Paul, the apostle, who'd started their church, he was in prison. Euodia and Syntyche were arguing, and it was ripping the church apart. They had opposition to spreading the good news of Jesus, the message of the gospel. They'd been there since the day they started as a church. Lots they could worry about. Do not be anxious about anything, says Paul. And there's lots we can worry about, aren't there? That list I had goes on. They're top 10. So number 6, job security. Number 7, wrinkles or aging appearance. You worry about these things? Number 8, your physique. Number 9, paying the rent, the mortgage. So on. All those things, worrying won't change them. Can't change them. Just makes you worry. Jesus has some great words to help us with. In Luke 12, verse 25, he says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Doesn't happen, does it? Doesn't make a slightest bit of difference. Instead, says Jesus, Luke 12, 31, seek his kingdom, and these things, all the things you're worrying about, will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom, and what you need, he'll give you. And he'll give you the kingdom. We're citizens of heaven, that's certain. We've been grasped hold of. Stop worrying. Something else to do. Something to stop worrying. Something to do. Give it to God gratefully. Give it to God gratefully. Take what we worry about to God. Do you remember at Easter, when we were down in the town for our Good Friday service, we had that picture of the curtain in the temple being torn in two. And that actually happened. We're told about it in the Gospels. And the curtain was a sign saying, no entry. No entry. And when the curtain was torn in two, the sign language changed. Jesus' death turns to a sign that says, access all areas. No entry to God without Jesus, but with Jesus, access all areas. And so we can pray and know he hears. We have a passport that opens the door, as it were, to heaven because of Jesus. And God listens to our prayer. And in that passage, there are four things that we take to God. Have a look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and requests. Three of those things are about asking. Prayer, supplication, and requests. All different ways of talking about asking. Prayer is not silence. Prayer is not mumbo jumbo, saying the same thing over and over again. Prayer is talking with God, consciously, sensibly, with our own genuine words. Maybe helped by someone else's prayer, maybe helped, definitely helped by prayers in the Bible. Asking for what other people need, what we need. Requests, supplication, prayer. One of those things is a response, thanksgiving. Because as we go to God with all these things we want to ask him and tell him, we know that we're citizens of heaven because of Jesus. What a great thing to thank him for. So let me give you some examples of prayer. Esmeralda has results from a breast scan coming in. Made up prayer, I don't know Esmeralda. She might pray this. Heavenly Father, I'm really worried about the tests and what might be wrong with me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that Jesus has grasped hold of me, whatever happens. Please help me to cope with whatever is coming and to keep trusting you. Amen. So did you notice what Esmeralda did? She told God what she felt. It might be that she couldn't express those words. And the great thing is, we're promised elsewhere that God knows. And we sort of grumble and moan at God a bit, and he knows what we're thinking. She said thank you for his love and how Jesus had grasped hold of her. And then she asked for his help to cope, whatever would happen. What about Mickey? Mickey's revising for exams at school. Mickey might say this. Heavenly Father, I really don't know if I'm going to get all the revision done in the next few weeks. And even then, I might make a botch in the exams. Please help me not to worry. Thank you that you'll love me, whatever the results. Please help me to get results so that I can do what you want in my life. I'd like to be a sound engineer, but whatever you want. Amen. There he is with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, presenting his request to God. How about Clement? Clement is concerned about Paul in prison. Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul. Please keep him sure about you while he's in prison, so that he won't be ashamed, but with full courage he will honour Christ, whether by life or by death. See what Clement's done? Clement's actually used the Bible to educate his prayers, because the words he used were from earlier in Philippians. Clement is mentioned in our passage. He's one of the people in Philippians who was maybe worried about Paul. And that's how he could pray for Paul. Something to do. Give it to God. Gratefully. The curtain is torn. The door is wide open. And you've got a passport that says access all areas because of Jesus. Take it to God. So stop worrying. Give it to God gratefully. Two things, two commands, and a promise, something to receive. God's peace, helping you and me in Jesus. Verse 7, and it's a promise, so let it ring in your ears. It is God saying, he will do this if you trust in him. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. What kind of peace it is it? It's more than that mindfulness stuff. Have you heard about mindfulness? A lot of mindfulness going around in schools, government departments. Maybe you work for Apple. Mindfulness at Apple. Mindfulness is a Buddhist technique of thinking that tries to sort of isolate the things in your life that worry you by stopping you seeing them as right or wrong and just letting you focus on them in some general way. And someone said afterwards, after doing mindfulness, I felt calm and light. Despite a busy day ahead, it was just as though I was in a bubble. And although aware of the various things I had to do, I didn't feel at all anxious. Sounds good? This isn't what God wants. He doesn't want us in a bubble. He wants us in contact with reality. He wants us knowing what's right and wrong. But he wants us giving it to him. So he wants us to have his peace. Not mindfulness peace. But his peace. The peace of God. The peace that God has in heaven. With God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit united in love. In peace, that peace for you and me. The peace he gives to us in Jesus. That gives us the knowledge that we're loved by him. Accepted by him. Forgiven. Grasped. And heard. It's beyond our understanding. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it's God's peace. What does it do? It keeps us in Jesus. See, that is the danger of worry in the end. The danger of worry is it will take us away from Jesus. I don't know if you know, there's a parable Jesus told called that we call the parable of the sower. It's in Mark chapter 4. It's a story about a man who sows seed, and it's about how God's word has a different impact on people. And the seed lands on the third kind of soil. It lands there and grows up. But then the thorns come in and choke it. And Jesus says, this is a picture, this is what it says, Mark 4, verse 19, of someone where the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. And it proves unfruitful. And that could be you or me, with the worries of this world, choking our relationship with Jesus, choking his word in our lives. But God the Father can guard us. He can guard us, our hearts and minds, in Christ Jesus, so that we get to where we're going and where our passports are pointing. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a promise to receive God's peace, keeping you in Jesus. So, what wakes you up at 5 o'clock in the morning? Don't let it. Trust Jesus. Turn it into prayer before him. Do not be anxious. Verse 6, learn it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Maybe you're not yet a citizen of heaven. Or don't stand outside feeling jealous. Come on in. Jesus died for you. He rose again. The curtain was torn in two. He has a passport with your name on it waiting for you, if you'll only turn to him. Come to our Christianity Explored course. Find out more. Or just talk to me afterwards. Maybe you are a citizen of heaven. Don't forget, you can rejoice in thinking like Jesus. You can see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you know our hearts and what's on them. You know the worries face us 5 a.m. this morning, maybe, when we go home today. But we hand them to you. Thank you that you love us and in Jesus have grasped hold of us when we trust in him. Thank you for the promise. Help us to see that as we hand these things over to you in our lives, to see your peace guarding our hearts and minds in Jesus.